Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Wednesday morning. It is the last day of September. Can you believe it? Tomorrow is October already. And, you know, for me, that means the official beginning of pumpkin spice season. I know that some people said pumpkin spice, like, end of August. Not till October. I'm a traditionalist, you know. Christmas season begins the day after Thanksgiving. Pumpkin spice season begins October 1st. That's just me. I did buy some pumpkin muffins this morning for breakfast for my family. So, went a little early on the pumpkin flavor, but not pumpkin spice, just pumpkin muffins. Is it ever wrong to have pumpkin muffins? I mean, come on. Good coffee. It's always the right season for good coffee, too. All right, we are in Psalm 99 this morning, and boy, we need it. We live in crazy times, and Psalm 99 is a powerful call to worship the Lord who reigns, the Lord whose throne is firmly established over all the earth, and the Lord who is holy. So Psalm 99 is a worship psalm about the reign, the absolute unshakable reign over all the earth of our holy God. Let's pray before we dig into the text. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning that you have given to us. We thank you for loving us with a love that is strong and powerful. We thank you for being faithful to us in all of your ways. We thank you that you are holy, holy, holy. Because only a holy God would reign in absolute justice and righteousness, would reign in unimpeachable perfection over this crazy sinful world. You sent your Son so that we could know you, to satisfy your holiness, to bring us near to you, because you love us. So, Father, we pray that you would bless us as we look at Psalm 99 this morning. Write it on our hearts, Father. Transform our minds by renewing us by your word and your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. And Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So we can see this Psalm 99 proclaims the holiness of God three times. Holy is he, and then the final line, for the Lord our God is holy. What do we mean when we say that God is holy? It's one of those Christian buzzwords that you've probably heard your whole life, but do we think about what it really means? Well, it's a very rich word. In Hebrew, the word is kavod. And kavod carries with it the idea of weight, of gravity, as well as just being utterly separate from, distinct from, unstained by, right? And so something that is holy is really important. It's really weighty. It matters. And it has its holiness has a penetrating influence on that around it. And so God is glorious. He is unlike anyone else. He is in a category all by himself. He is unique. He is the most important, because without him, nothing, right? He is the ultimate sine qua non, the ultimate without which nothing, because he's the creator and the sustainer of all things. And he's completely untouched by the stain of sin or evil. We live in a world that is stained by sin and evil. There's no doubt about it. We live in a world where evil happens and where sin is a reality, and God is completely untouched by these things. He is radiant in his holiness. In the New Testament, in Greek, the word is doxa, from which we get our word doxology, and it means a shining radiance, a splendor, praiseworthiness, right? And so God is all of that as well. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful word to reflect on the holiness of God. We see some other wonderful words to reflect on here. God's name is great and awesome. Whenever we see reference to God's name, it's really a reference to the character of God in its total revelation to us. All that God has revealed to us about himself is great and awesome. And only God is awesome. We shouldn't use that word. We shouldn't throw it around about a bunch of other stuff, because only God is awesome. And then we also see here in verse 4 about justice and righteousness. Remember, we saw that earlier with Psalm 98. Justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne. God is committed. God as king, he reigns, right? The Lord reigns. He's king over all. He's committed. He's firmly anchored in and committed to justice, which is to do what is right by people, right? To treat people as they deserve. And then he sent his son to die to satisfy the demands of justice against us and to open up the blessings of justice to us who are his people. Justice and righteousness. Righteousness is the unwavering commitment to doing right and being right. Okay? It is uprightness. It is integrity. Okay? How different are these two concepts from the politicians of our day? How different from the politicians of our day who don't care at all about justice or righteousness, but they only care about themselves. They only care about winning. They only care about power. And maybe that's cynical, but after last night's presidential debate, maybe I'm cynical. Cynics aren't always wrong. But God is not like the politicians of this world. God is not like the earthly rulers. That's part of what it means to say he's holy. Right? He's holy. When he says justice and righteousness, he means it. That's what he's really committed to. And he's so committed to it that he sent his son Jesus to be the satisfaction of divine justice and the embodiment of divine righteousness. So justice and righteousness, in addition to being the twin commitments of God's reign, are revelations to us of the character of Christ, who is the satisfaction of divine justice and the embodiment of divine righteousness. Then Psalm 99 calls us to remember Moses and Aaron and Samuel, these great titans of the faith. Psalm 99, I believe, was most likely written after the return from the Babylonian exile. It's in book 4 of the Psalms, and I think largely books 4 and 5 were put together after the return from Babylonian exile. And the reason why I say that is that for the perspective of Psalm 99, Moses, Aaron, Samuel, those guys are far in the past, just like they are to us. So he's looking back on the great heroes of the faith of the past and how they called upon God's name and God answered them. God has spoken. We have a record in God's word in the Bible. We have a record of how God answered his people and spoke and gave us good laws and a good word, and how encouraging that is for us to know these great heroes of the faith. We don't have to look back and say, oh, they were great heroes of the faith, but they called to God, God answered them, we have it written down, right? And we can know with confidence what God said to them, and God answers us as well through his word. Now, listen to what verse 8 says about them, though. Oh God, O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them. That means these guys were sinners, too. They needed forgiveness from God. But an avenger of their wrongdoings. An avenger of their wrongdoings. That means that there are consequences when we do wrong. Sometimes I think we as Christians use grace almost as an excuse and almost to pretend like there are no consequences to our wrongdoing. The Bible never says that. God is merciful and gracious. He's full of compassion. He will forgive every sin and transgression. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover every sin. That doesn't mean that we can wantonly do things that are wrong and not suffer the consequences. Consequences of wrongdoing is not the same thing as, you know, forgiveness or unforgiveness. God can forgive our sin, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, cover us with the perfect righteousness of Christ, and if we choose wrong, we're still going to suffer the consequences from it. And we need to realize that's part of what it means for God to be holy, is, you know, it's Galatians 5 that says, "Do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you'll reap eternal life." So exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. His holy mountain, Mount Zion, is a picture of the church. So this is actually a call for us to gather together with the church to worship Him. And to worship Him, His church is holy. The place where His people gather to worship Him is holy. Because the Lord our God, Yahweh our God, is holy. What a great and powerful psalm for us to consider. I'd like us to respond to this psalm in song this morning. We did this on Monday. I want to do it again today. This is a newer hymn of the faith from a group called City of Light. They're part of a church in Australia. And this is one of my favorite of the modern hymns, Only a Holy God. So think about the words. If you don't know it, just listen to it. If you know it, you can sing along. And let's have God speak to us again, to our hearts, as we worship Him together this morning. Only a holy God.
Commands all the host of heaven. Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praise? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty moves with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold the one and the only Christ. Sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. What other glory consumes like fire? What other power? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God. Come and behold the one, the only Christ. Sing holy. rescue me from my failing? Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God. Only my holy.
Let's pray to our holy God. Oh, Lord God, our Father, you are indeed holy in all of your ways. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. You reign exalted as King forevermore. You gave your Son for our salvation, to uphold your holiness, and to show your love and to redeem a people for yourself, a holy people. By your grace, we have been made holy. What a thought. By your grace, through your Son, we have been made holy. Thank you. Father, let us walk in the power of that grace. Let us walk in the awareness that we have been made your holy people, and that we are called to live as your holy people in this world. Father, be with us today. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, in our hearts and minds and lives and words throughout this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much again for joining me this morning. We're going to gather together on Friday morning for Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Psalm 100 will be coming up on Friday. See you then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.